This conference is being recorded.
Okay, it seems like it let me in. So I'm back in, and we're starting to record. Okay, one of the sections we wanted to cover today was who is the 144,000, or really not so much who they are, but how do they get the victory. We're going to look at all of that, and if you're on our website, you can get to that under Chapter 1, the last section, so on page 34, which says Yahweh's live raw food and its effect on his people. When we go down here, it says the perfecting of a people. After we go down beyond that picture of the greens of raw food, that's what it is, it shows how has Yahweh been testing his people. That's basically the question. So far we have looked through, we saw how Yeshua was tested, we saw how Job was tested, he lost everything, we saw how Noah was tested, he was the only one left, and the whole planet was destroyed. So how is he going to test us? We read already that Yeshua was made perfect through suffering. Some people believe that, some don't, but we hope that we've been able to share enough scriptures to help you understand and see that. So now we are dealing with what are these tests and can we see a pattern from the beginning of time to now that he is using to work with us. In our short annal of time in history, that's for the last 6,000 years, from Adam to the 144,000, humans have been on probation. That's what we've been on. We've been on a probation. The first probation was with Adam. Adam and Eve sinned, so we failed our probation. You know, when you have probation, you're given a certain length of time to do certain things, and if you don't, then you fail the probation. And so we see that Adam and Eve failed the probation during the probation time, what has put us into this predicament that we're in today, which is the sinful flesh. Yahweh has been trying to develop and teach us lessons by ways of tests, as if we were in some type of school. And that's the whole point. We're in a school to be learning. Adam and Eve, they were in school. That's why the first assignment was to name the animals. The test given to Adam and Eve was on self-denial, temperance, and self-control over their appetite. So we see that Adam and Eve did not exert self-denial, temperance, or self-control over their appetite for whatever the fruit of the garden was. It never said it was an apple, even though people keep saying it's an apple. Never said that. It just said the fruit of the tree, the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. That's what it was, the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And so we did not exercise that self-control as Africans, who Adam and Eve were, Africans at the beginning of time, or classical Africans. So we as Africans, African Americans, and so forth, people of color, we have this same problem today. And living in America, we really have the problem because I believe they said like over 50% of the young people are overweight and 75% of the adults are overweight. So yes, it is a problem for all. This was the first test, and also this was the first test also given to the last Adam. That's Yeshua. We keep referring to the last Adam. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. That's where that's located. We keep mentioning that verse because there was the first Adam and there was the last Adam. So right here in chapter 15, verse 45, it reads, "And so it is written, the first Adam The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. And how did he made a living soul? The Bible says that he was formed from the dust of the ground, and Yeshua breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So he says that's how we became at first. We were made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. So here he lets us know that the last Adam, which is Yeshua, has a quickening spirit, which we talked about, the law of the spirit of life, which was in Yeshua the Messiah, has made us free from the law of sin and death. That was in Romans chapter 8. So we see here Yeshua, Jesus, in the wilderness. Let's look at that for a moment. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Now, it is interesting that when Adam and Eve fell over appetite, that Yeshua, his first test, is again over the exact place where Adam fell. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. And Yeshua, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So we see that the Spirit led him into the wilderness. As you can see that most of the time, that, and that's what the whole thing of Romans chapter 8 was. And he says that there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so we see here that same phrase here, that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days, he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Yeshua answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of Elohim, of God. So we see here that the very place where Adam and Eve fell is the first place where Yeshua picks up to bring us back to the original plan. That's always the key. He's always bringing us back. So the 44,000 are brought back to the original plan. Adam was the original plan, and Yeshua is called the last Adam. So he brings us back to the original plan. He doesn't have a new plan. It's the same plan that he created Adam and Eve that he still has for us, perfected people in Yeshua the Messiah. This will be the last test given to all living during the last days. How will that happen? Through the mark of the beast, when no man is able to buy or sell except with the mark of the beast. Let's turn there for a moment. It's Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 17. I want to start off at verse number 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. This is Revelation 14, verse 15. That the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So we see here that in the last days that there will be an image to the beast, and that it said that whoever would not worship, that's the issue. The issue is worship. Worship the image of the beast should be killed. And that's what, if we notice, as we were moving in time in history, if we look back at the Catholic Church and we look back over history, okay, we can see that at the time of the Roman Inquisition or the Roman powers or any powers, that whoever did not accept Christianity was killed. That's how they came to America and wiped out most of the Native Americans, because they wouldn't accept Christianity. Okay? And they wouldn't worship the way they wanted them to. The same thing when the Africans, same thing, we were put in slavery because we would not cooperate and worship the way they wanted us to worship. And so when we look back in time and look back in history, we keep seeing this beast power coming on the stage of action. And as the Bible says now, and it says that he has the image of the beast, that all are forced to worship the image of the beast or you would be killed. And so we have to remember that, because that's what's being, missionaries are bringing all around the world. And some of it is good and some of it is bad. And the problem is, if you are killed for it, there's something wrong with that, because Yahweh doesn't use force to get you to convert to him. Notice in verse 16, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. Okay, so we see here that there will be some type of mark. But now the key is two things I want us to note here. That it talks about this mark being in your forehead, your right hand or your forehead. I want to emphasize the forehead part, because that's where your mind is. That's where your thoughts, and that's where you make decisions, your decision-making. Also in 144,000, we read that the Bible says that in their that their father's name is written, guess where? In their forehead. Now, in chapter 13, and let's look at chapter 14, verse 1. It tells us that. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their forehead. So in the last days, you have two choices. Either to have the father's name written in your forehead, which will make you part of the 144,000, or you will receive the mark of the beast in your forehead. Okay, so we know clearly the name of the Father is just showing that we have given our will over to him, such that now he is dwelling in us, and that the 144,000, you don't no longer see them as individuals. They have given their will totally over to Yeshua, the Holy Spirit, and to the Father, such that now he is being revealed to the world. Such that the other one is that because of the mark of the beast, then now you are worshiping the beast and his image, and that person will be also revealing through their forehead or through their lifestyle him. So each one has two different lifestyles. One lifestyle is of the Father, because it's found in his word. The other lifestyle is one that is man-made and is the one that's being implemented and that will be forced on all. Notice verse number 17, and that no man might buy or sell save he that have the mark. Okay, so that's one. So far we already found out that you would be killed if you didn't worship him in verse 15. Now we see here in verse 17 that they ask you to take a mark. In verse 16, the mark in your right hand and your forehead. Now in verse 17, it talks about, and that you can't buy or sell except or save he that have the mark or the number of the beast. So now you have name and number. So you got worship, you got a mark in your right hand and your forehead, and now you also have a number, the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And there it is with his name. Okay, we're not going to get into chapter 8, verse 18, which talks about the application of that. We're just trying to identify that you won't be able to buy or sell. And because you can't buy or sell, then what basically happens, it has to do with your appetite. So if you don't have a victory over your appetite, you can be for sure that you cannot make it through this time. And that's what the devil, Lucifer, has been dragging and pulling on us from the conception of time. And I think he figures that since he got a perfect people on appetite, he can surely get sinful people on appetite. And so how does appetite play a role? How does this have a role? And why is it so important that he had, that that's what we have dealt with? Well, there's many times that this occurred, okay? And we'll go through some of that, because when we go through the Exodus, the wilderness, and we're going to see all of that. Okay, when Yahweh created Adam and Eve, they were in his image, perfect, Genesis 1:27. They were given a particular raw, live raw food diet called a fruitarian diet. And let's look at that for a minute. That's in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 28. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And God, Elohim, blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. So now he says for you to multiply, replenish, that means what? Put back into the earth so that it can replenish itself and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you, talking to Adam and Eve, I've given you every herb bearing seed. Okay, so he's given us the seed. That's what we call lentils, we call cashews and stuff like that. Okay, which is upon the face of all the earth. And every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree, yielding seed. So now he's given us the fruit. To you it shall be for meat. Meat means food. Doesn't mean flesh. In the Bible, it means food. But many people think it means flesh. And to every beast, so we see here, he made them a fruitarian. No vegetables, just fruit and nuts and grains. In verse 30, it says, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and every thing that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. So here he doesn't talk about a seed. He talks about, he gives them what? A green herb for food. And it was so. Okay, so we see here that he had made the animals vegetarians and man fruitarian. So humans' diet was on a higher level than the animals' diet. One was vegetarian and one was fruitarian. Okay, so now what happens after the fall? Okay, so we can see in the garden they communed with Elohim all the time. And he even gave them an assignment to name all the animals. And we find out that they did that. When one is on a live, raw food diet, it opens their communication with the spiritual world. Now, this is from experience. And we'll see it through scripture also. I try to go on a 21-day cleanse 3 times a year. Other people go on, I have people go on 10 days and 5-day cleanse programs, and their mind, their spiritual walk, their communication in the spiritual world with Yahweh opens up, and they can notice the difference. You can read some of the testimonies on the website. On this website, there's some testimonies that deal with health, and you can find them there. Okay, now, also it talks about That is one of the reasons why they were able to communicate freely with Elohim, or with God. That's one of the reasons. That's what he had given it for. He didn't just give us, some people live to eat. That means they just eat anything. That's all they do. They just live to eat. But Yahweh did not create us to live to eat. He created us to eat to live. So you're saying, okay, what's the difference between you eat to live or you live to eat? Some people just live every day just so they can eat, and they get bigger and bigger and bigger. The other one is that you eat to live. So you only take the food in, and you take the types of food in that are best for your health. And some would call it that you become health conscious. And Yahweh was health conscious when he gave the diet to the in the garden, to Adam and Eve and to the animals. Very particular. So now you might be wondering why. Well, on a fruitarian diet or fruits and vegetables do two different things to the body. The fruits cleanse the body, so to cleanse you of all purities and impurities, so that's why your mind gets clearer. And your fruit and your vegetables, the green items, that they, the green leafy vegetables, what they do is that they heal the system. So that means that it's a healing process, and it'll help you. It'll help filter out the poison. Because right now we have lots of poison in the air through car pollution, coal and fossil fuel and all the different things. And so that's why you needed the green, so that it can protect you from the poisons that are going on. So I do not recommend anyone become a fruitarian, because that will open up your mind, open up so that you don't have anything filtering out the poisons, and it can drive you insane, I was told. So no one is advocating anyone to go on a diet of fruitarian, not me. Okay? All right, so this was the diet before the fall, and that was the reason why. Okay, then it says, and so that's why you're able to communicate with Elohim easily, much more easily, and they were able to talk with him with no problem. Try one of our 10-day oxygen therapy cleanse programs. All that have been able to complete this program testify that their spiritual walk today, that their spiritual walk took on a whole new dimension. Visit our website and read the testimonies for yourself. Yahweh gave one test in the garden to Adam and Eve. And it was a test of self-denial, temperance, and self-control over their appetite. That's in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So there we have what we call the fall. We have that the Bible told us that there was only one diet, but there was no one tree that you could not eat. Then they sinned and failed the test. So the question is, are we doing the same? Whereby plunging humanity into misery, woe, pain, and finally death. And that's what he said. Says, if you eat of the tree, you will surely die. And that's where we find ourselves today. I believe mentally, physically, and spiritual death is what he was talking about here. So, as we failed, did one violation of the Creator's law bring to future generations and for thousands of years all of this misery, woe, destruction, pain, and suffering of today? For something like this to have been the cause of our past and present problems, I think all should investigate this matter fully. So the appetite and them not participating and having self-control, that was so vital that Yahweh placed so much importance on that I believe that all of us should fully understand and investigate what does that mean. And that's what we're going to try to do at this time. Try to understand what was the depth of such a thing that Yahweh had given so much of dire consequences for disobeying. After the fall, Adam and Eve had live food, had live raw greens introduced into their diet. That's in Genesis chapter 3, verse 18. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. So this is the first time that he said that you will be eating the herb, such as now you became a vegetarian at that point. This made their diet like the animal's diet before the fall, as we read already in Genesis chapter 1, verse 30. They were now vegetarians, no longer fruitarians, with mostly, if not all, live raw food. So they wasn't cooking the food at this point. They were eating live raw food. This was one of the main reasons why they were able to live so long. It is interesting to note that the animals who are on live raw food diets also live the longest days versus live the longest today versus those animals which eat flesh and live the shorter lifespans. So if you see carnivorous animals, lions and tigers and stuff like that, they have a short, intestines, so that the transition of the food can move quickly out of them. Where vegetarians, elephants, giraffes, and us humans, so forth, have very long intestines, and cows and stuff like that, such that the food can digest and it can be broken down in different stages, and all of the vitamins and minerals and essential life from the live food can be extracted. Now, they say that the elephants live the biggest, they're vegetarians and they're the biggest animals on the planet compared to the giraffes, that these, and they live 100 years. And they are the longest, they are the strongest. And so that is very interesting, comparing it to the short lives of the ones that aren't. After the flood, Elohim introduced flesh into the human diet. And that's found in our Genesis chapter 9, verse number 3. Every moving thing that lives shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. So we see there that what did he do? That the green herb he said he introduced after the flood, after the fall, and now he's introducing after the flood, he's introducing flesh into the diet. Okay? But he adds a restriction on verse 4, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast. See, there's a catch to this. Even though he gave us meat to eat, he restricted it without the blood. Now, most of the meat that we sell today has blood in it. That's why it's red. That's why some people ask you that they want, they want blood. They want a steak that where, more on medium so that the blood comes out. They want to see it. But the Bible forbids that. And he says that the blood that is in there, that's where the life of the animal is. And if you eat the blood, he says he's going to require it at your hands. And so that means that what? That means if you eat the blood with the animal, that then it's gonna, you know, it's gonna affect you. That means that's what we call disease. Okay, it's gonna give you different diseases because as the life is in the blood, disease travels through the bloodstream. So that's why you wanted it drained such that you wouldn't have the blood. But if you don't drain it, then the blood is actually in the meat, and the disease is in the meat, and the poisons of the animals are still in the meat, and so that's what is going to hurt you. And that's what he says in verse number 5. And surely your blood of your lives, so that's what he's saying, your life, your blood, will I require at the hand of every beast which I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Okay? So he makes it clear here about the diet and what will happen. Okay? So now, he says, what happened when he introduced this meat into the diet? Did it increase man's life? Did it help man's life? Or did it decrease man's life? Well, let's read and let's see what the Bible says. Okay? Right there after that, it says, after the flood, Elohim introduced flesh into the human diet, which we read in Genesis 9:3, cutting our lifespan short by approximately 90% and allowing us to live lives about 70 to 120 years. That's found in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 3. So remember, people lived around 900 years or some more, some less. So if you take 900 years, that's almost 1,000 years. If you divide that by, what do we call it, 90%, you come up with, from 1,000, you get 900. So 90%, so that means that we went down to around 100 years. Okay? So in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, it says, and the Lord God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. So here the Bible makes it crystal clear that he's not going to always be striving with man through his spirit, and that he's cutting man's life short. So one place in the Bible it says 70 years, another place it talks about 120 years. So I just said that's basically approximately 90% of your lifespan has been cut. And why is he cutting it short? Because of the sinfulness of man. And so the question is, many Christians would say that, well, God gave us, you know, the meat to eat. Yes, now the question is, yes, if you are on a regular, you know, trend with everybody else, yes, you should eat it and die off quick because that's what it's supposed to do. But that's not the original plan that he has for us or for his people. And that's why he's trying to bring us back to his original plan, not with the modified plan, which is to kill off the, you know, people. And he tells you right there. He says real clear. In verse number 3, he says, hey, my spirit will not always strive with man. I'm not going to always deal with man in this realm. So I'm going to cut his life short by 90%. Now, that's where the Bible is telling us. It seems as if Elohim introduced flesh into the human diet as an act of mercy. Now notice, he's always concerned about us mercifully. So as an act of mercy to shorten our misery of pain, suffering, and sinful, destructive lives. So he gave it to us for a good purpose so that we don't have to live in a lot of pain, misery, and all of this stuff for almost 1,000 years. So he cut it short to around 100. The next test recorded in Scripture was during the Exodus, when Yahweh introduced the Israelites to a new diet while they were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Elohim fed them manna from heaven. but the people wanted flesh to eat. Does it sound like us today? You know, Yahweh wants to give us one thing and we want the other. But remember, Yahweh always knows what's best for us. So if you look here in the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verses 18 through 20, let's see what happens here. And said they unto the people, sanctify yourselves again tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Wherefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat one day, or 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but 'even a whole month, until it come out of your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before the Lord, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? Okay, so we can see here what's actually happening. And they insisted on something that Yahweh did not want to give them. And so Yahweh said, okay, because you just complaining and complaining and complaining, that's what we do. We complain until we can get our way from Yeshua. Okay, and then we say, well, thank you, Yahweh, and, you know, it must be a blessing. But no, sometimes he gives us stuff because we complain so much that it's going to destroy us. So these are the things that we have to keep in mind. Again, we failed the test on self-denial, self-control, temperance, and appetite. Elohim sent a plague or disease, and a disease is nothing but having a dis-ease, that you're not at ease anymore. You're in pain among the people. And while the flesh was still in their mouth, the fattest of them were killed by this plague or disease. That's in Numbers, same chapter, but we were just reading, chapter 11, verse 31 through 33. And there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quail from the sea, and let them fall on the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. And the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered the quail. Now look how long it took them. It took them 2 days to get it together. So and they're just doing this exhaustively because they want so much meat. And they gathered the quail. He that gathered least gathered 10 omers. And they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, it was chewed, the wrath of Yahweh was kindled against the people. And Yahweh smote the people with a very great plague. So sometimes he can give us something and we might regret it. But if we listen to him the first time, then we won't regret it, because he's trying to bring us back to him. And he knows what's best for us. And he created everything, so he know he didn't create that really for you to eat. But if you insist on it, you will get the diseases or the plagues that come along with it. Okay, this is similar to the promise Elohim gave to Adam and Eve. He said, when they eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they would surely die. We read that, Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. the same test, as you can see, it happened to them. So obey and live, and disobey and die. And that's basically what it was. So it is for us today. As we obey Yahweh and yield our will over to him like Yeshua did, then we will prosper or benefit from that yielding. But if we decide not to yield to him, even though we might not like it, then we see that we will surely die. And that's basically what happens. So we see it happen to Adam and Eve, then we see it happen right now at the flood. I mean, at the flood, we saw that it was cut 90% of your life. Now it makes it crystal clear. He gave it to them in the wilderness because that wasn't what he wanted for his people. But he gave it to them, and it killed them in the wilderness. Now, this same test was given to Daniel and the three Hebrew children. They chose to go on some type of 10-day live raw food cleansing program or diet instead of partaking of the slave master's or king's diet and the delicacies of Babylon. Okay? I think everyone is familiar with that story of what actually happened. And now myself, I tried to use the 10-day cleanse that I put people on and the 21-day cleanse. I tried to use the diet that Daniel have used, 100% raw food. Mostly it was, as they would call it, sprouts. That's what is mentioned when people talk about the diet of Daniel. Okay, Daniel chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. So there it is again, not defiling his body, the temple of God. For we are the temple of God, and he that destroyeth the temple of God, him shall God destroy. So he wanted to keep his vessel clear and clean with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuch that he might not defile himself. Now, Elohim, or God, had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, whom have appointed your meat, which is food, not flesh again, and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse off than the children which are of your sort? Then said they, then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Mezar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulp. That's a vegetarian diet, live raw food diet in particular, pulp to eat and water to drink. And so we know that that's what happened. We read up to verse number 12, and we saw a change. After the 10 days allotted, they were evaluated and found healthier than all the other students. Therefore, these Israelites from the tribe of Judah passed the test and were granted permission to stay on their live raw food diet for the remainder of their 3.5-year training period in the Babylonian school system. And that's what I use today. I'd be trying to use the Babylonian school systems that we're in. A group of us, we would do 21-day cleansing programs so that our minds would be clear as we went through this Babylonian school of engineering that we went through, and some was in other fields. We are told that they became 10 times wiser than all the wise men in Babylon. So Yahweh did bless them. There's a big difference. He cursed the other ones that persisted on not eating his manna and wanting the flesh. And now we see that those who yielded over to what he wanted, of the result that they got. Now notice in Daniel chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, and the kings communed with them, and among them all, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom, amen, and understanding, amen, that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers, and that were in his realm. So we see here that Yahweh will bless you with keen understanding and wisdom from on high. And I know that's true. Like I said, I prove it through my schooling. And others have also proved it in other people that go through our program. This was the present truth then, and it is still the present truth for our time. So present truth is what is applicable to that time frame. So we know for Adam and Eve, the test of appetite was the present truth, and they failed it. We know at the time of the Exodus that we were given, again, a diet, and we failed it again. And now we see that in Babylonian captivity that some of the people are given it, and we see these 3-4 Hebrew young people, because that's what they were. They were young people. Some people say they were around 13, 15 years old. So these were just high school students who were making this decision without their parents around them. So they had to make it on themselves. And so today, when we are in college, I would like for people to realize the present truth that we're dealing with is present for the day of Yeshua. That's what he went through. It's present for the day of the flood. It's present for the day of the Exodus. It's present for the day that Adam started this mess that we got in, the first test. And it will be the same test that we will be afflicted in the last days for the mark of the beast. Still over diet. My Bible study group and I accepted this present truth while attending Howard University. Like Daniel and his 3 Hebrew children, and the 3 Hebrew children, we implemented our 21-day oxygen therapy cleansing program in preparation for our tests, midterms, and finals. Through implementing this program, I was able to maintain my electrical engineering scholarship for undergraduate and graduate school, and I still practice that today. And it helps me through my doctorate today as I go to school. Yahweh's program really works. What a blessing we and the Hebrews received from Elohim, or God, in reward for our faithfulness. Wisdom was one of the blessings. Daniel was given dreams and visions for the last days. If we follow this diet today, what gifts do you think Elohim would give to us today? The promise to the last generation in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29 says, your young men shall dream dreams, and your old men shall see vision. Like Daniel, do you think that Elohim will do for us as he did for Daniel? Then when we follow his health laws? Daniel went on a 21-day cleanse program, diet or fast, in the book of Daniel chapter 10, and received a prophecy for the last days. That's Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. John the Baptist was given the tests on self-denial, temperance, and self-control over his appetite, and he passed it with flying colors. So it's very important that we can see that Yahweh means what he says. In Daniel chapter 10, verses 2 and 3, this is what it says. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Okay, so a week is 7 days, so 3 times 7 is 21 days. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh wine into my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So this is what we're saying here. This is the 21-day cleanse that we're trying to implement ourselves. And as we can see, John the Baptist practiced it, and he lived and was clearly Yahweh's servant. From his birth, that's Luke chapter 1, verse 15, to his death, he followed Yahweh's health laws. See, he didn't waver. And that's why the Bible says that there's none greater than John the Baptist. That's Luke 1, verse 15. For he shall be great in the sight of Yahweh, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drinks. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. So here it is right here. It's telling us even the diet. Now, John the Baptist was a forerunner before Yeshua's first coming. And so that the parallel will be for us, for those 144,000 before the Messiah's second coming, that John the Baptist was the forerunner. So we, as my understanding is, that we have to pass the same test that John the Baptist does, because the mark of the beast makes it very clear of what would happen. From his birth to his death, he followed Yahweh's health laws and was honored with having the spirit of Elijah the prophet. That's in Luke chapter 1, verse 17. It says, and he shall go forth, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And so the same thing is today. For us to go before the people, for the people to hear us, we will have to live lives similar to what John the Baptist did, as the Bible had laid out. This was returning, remember, back to the original that Yahweh had given to Adam and Eve since the fall. He's trying to bring us back to our perfected state so that we might truly represent him. His life opened the New Testament. That's Luke chapter 1, verses 11 through 25. We won't read that, but you can on your own. And he prepared the way for the Messiah's first coming. Yeshua said that there is no prophet greater than John the Baptist. And that's a heavy statement. That what John the Baptist goes through, so will we. That's found in Matthew 11:11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So we have it here, what the Bible has made clear to us. In the last days, there will be none greater than 144,000. The 144,000, in like manner, will be preparing the inhabitants of the world for the Messiah's second coming. So it would follow that they would be tested like all the rest of the people before them in the area of self-denial, self-control, temperance, and appetite. They will be following Yahweh's health laws, as did John the Baptist, so that they can stand the test when the mark of the beast comes. Remember, the first temptation presented to Yeshua or Jesus was focused on appetite. Therefore, he picked right up where Adam and Eve fell. The present truth for the last generation will have to address the final test for humanity and 144,000. It will be a test of self-denial, self-control, temperance, and appetite. All of these were sins that got us into our present circumstances and dilemma. So how do we get out? We are all given the choice of receiving present truth today to prepare us for the final test. We can pass or fail the test over self-denial, self-control, temperance, and appetite. It will be up to you and to me, to us. Will you be like Adam and Eve, who were kicked out of the garden? Will you be like the Israelites who left Egypt under the Exodus and never entered the promised land? For the whole generation was wiped out, for they didn't obey. Will you murmur, complain, and crave flesh like the church in the wilderness and like most churches today? Will you take your stand with the righteous, which came before us, like Daniel, Job, John the Baptist, Enoch, Elijah, and Yeshua, Jesus, in Hebrews 11? Once we implement this present truth, it can help us pass the test when the mark of the beast is decreed, issued, and enforced. Revelation 13. The ancient writers did not write about present truth for us to only read the words on the pages of this book, but to implement their teachings, to see if it really works and is true in our present day application. I plead with every soul that we do not delay in accepting present truth, which will help us make our calling and election sure. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. No matter how many people we must go through, how many bands of demons, how many times we must go through the same trial, before we learn the lesson Yahweh is trying to teach us. Yes, what does it take? And that verse that we had in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, it reads, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth." So we have the same present truth today that they've had since the time of Adam and Eve. And it doesn't matter how many demons are going to be put in our way, how many trials are going to be put in our way. The question is, will we learn the lesson? Let us run the race to obtain what Yahweh offers us. This is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. Yahweh alone can keep us from falling. We must all bear our cross and go through all of these things before we can become one with Elohim. And that's the purpose, that we will become one with him. let us take hold of the truth and pass over every necessary obstacle with speed. For this life is a pathway full of entanglements, snares, and traps, as it has been for our forefathers. So it will be for us. The verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 through 27 reads, "Know ye not that they which run the race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery," that's where we are, we're striving for the mastery to become perfect, that we become one with the Messiah. "Strive for the mastery is temperate," there's the test again, "in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." So he even tells you the people that are running the Olympics, that they are temperate. They're on a strict diet. They keep everything in line. And so it is with us in these last days, that if they're running it for that race, how much more should we be running it toward the final goal of heaven? Thank you for our last part.